Welcome to North Idaho Radio 97.1 FM in Sandpoint. I am Mickey Hemingway of MK Hemingway Coaching and Consulting, and this is my monthly radio show, Moment with Mickey. This show is focused on local businesses, organizations, and community activities that impact business and life here in Sandpoint. I have lived in Sandpoint since 1997. I spent the bulk of my career working for national retailers at the corporate level, managing store operations. 8 years ago, I left the corporate world and opened my own business of coaching and consulting individuals, businesses, and their teams. Today, I'm very pleased to be speaking with a local entrepreneur who has made significant contributions to the Sandpoint community and continues to do so today. My guest today is Dennis Pence, founder of Food for Our Children. But first, let's review what's happening around town in the coming days. Tonight, Monday, October 20th, is Wine for You's monthly wine tasting at Baxter's Back Door, located at the corner of Cedar Street and 2nd Avenue. Every month on the third Monday, Wine for You owner Beth Giacomo hosts a tasting from 5:30 to 7:30. You will get to taste five different wines and place an order for bottles of the ones you love. Tickets are $20 for those who are members of Wine for You's wine club, or $25 for non-members. Visit the website wineforyouonline.com to purchase tickets. That's W-I-N-E, the number four, the letter U, online.com. Tuesday, October 21st, is the Little Live Radio Hour. Every third Tuesday of the month, KRFY hosts a Little Live Radio Hour and broadcasts live on air from the Panada Theater. This month, KRFY host Jack Peterson will be chatting with local musician Justin Landis. These events are free to attend. They ask live audience members to arrive by 6:45 to get settled, and the live broadcast begins at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, October 22nd, Barrel 33 will have a Taste of Tango dance lesson at 6 p.m., followed by a guided practice at 7 p.m. No partner is needed. The cost is $15 at the door, and participants will get 10% off any food or beverage purchase. Thursday, October 23rd, is line dancing lessons at the Hive on 1st Avenue. $10 at the door, and doors open at 6 p.m. with lessons kicking off at 6:30, and they end around 8:30 with open dancing after that. On Friday, October 24th, POAC, also known as the Ponderay Arts Council, is hosting their performance art series with a masterpiece ball. This is an evening of fundraising with live music by Harold's IGA. There will be signature cocktails and appetizers, a mini art auction, and a costume contest for fabulous prizes. You are invited to become a living work of art or come dressed as your favorite artist. This event takes place at the Hive on Friday, October 24th, from 6 to 10 p.m., and this is for those who are 21 and older. Tickets are $75 and can be purchased by visiting the website artinsandpoint.org. Also happening on Friday, October 24th, is a murder mystery party at Barrel 33. The event will be a murder mystery and elite wine tasting party. You will get to sip on some top-notch wines and try to solve a thrilling murder mystery. The event begins at 7 p.m., come dressed to impress, and you will be mingling with other sleuths as you attempt to unravel the secrets. Make the most of your fall season by visiting You Pick Pumpkin Patch at 26 East Shingle Mill Road. The Pumpkin Patch is open Friday through Sunday in the month of October from noon to 5. They have hay rides, cider, donuts, bouncy houses, gem panning, a barn store, and more. Visit the You Pick Pumpkin Patch on Shingle Mill Road. Lake Ponderay Repertory Theater brings the classic black comedy, Arsenic and Old Lace, to the Panada stage. Chaos ensues when drama critic Mortimer Brewster discovers a man's corpse in his aunt's window seat. To Mortimer's horror, he learns that his sweet elderly aunts are not only aware of the body, but are responsible for it. This sets off a whirlwind of darkly comic complications involving poisoned wine, eccentric brothers, including one who is convinced he is Teddy Roosevelt. The shows take place on October 24th, 25th, and 26th, and also the following weekend of October 31st, November 1st, and 2nd. Friday and Saturday shows are at 7, Sunday matinees are at 2. Visit the website panada.org to purchase tickets. Wednesday, October 29th, is Wine for You's Halloween Halloween Party. The fun begins at 6 p.m. at Wine for You's Wine Shop, located at 1309 Ponderosa Drive at Division. Costumes are encouraged. Tickets are $60 for wine club members, $65 for non-members. Visit the website wineforyouonline.com to purchase tickets. We're going to take a break right now, and then right after that, I will be welcoming my guest, Dennis Pence. So don't go anywhere, stay tuned, and thank you for joining This Moment with Mickey on North Idaho's Talk Radio, FM 97.1 in Sandpoint, 1450 AM in Bonners Ferry. We will be right back. Welcome back. I am Mickey Hemingway, and this is Moment with Mickey on North Idaho Radio. I am very pleased to have Dennis Pence as my guest today. Welcome, Dennis.
Well, thanks, Mickey, and thank you very much for having me today. It's a pleasure.
It is so nice to see you. So, you are the founder of Food for Our Children. Is that correct?
Well, actually, I'm one of them. There were three founders, Mickey. Three of us got the idea to do this. One was Roz Holland, and Roz and I had done many, many things together. And then the other person that was really instrumental was Ford Elsesser. And some of the community may remember Ford as a long-standing attorney, but also so responsible for the success and growth of Bonner Hospital.
Oh, yes, he's on the foundation board at the hospital?
That is correct.
Okay, yeah. So take us back to the very beginning, and what inspired you and Roz and Ford to come up with this idea?
Well, you know, it began just in a very, very small way, and the company I was with at the time, Coldwater Creek, was sponsoring Kootenai Elementary School as a kind of charitable opportunity for people in the company, and one of the things they were doing was providing weekend food for kids who were food insecure. When Coldwater was finished, there was this hole that was left in terms of that. And also then the realization came to me and Ford and Roz that this is really a hole for all the elementary schools in the county. And I guess just to back up, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Really, the primary thing we did for many years was provide bags of weekend food for kids that needed it in the county. But this wasn't an original idea, Mickey. This actually came from a nurse in Arkansas.
Oh.
And she came up with the idea for what was then called the backpack program, and that was providing a little backpack with weekend food for kids in need in Arkansas. And it idea spread all over America. The backpacks were lost from the program because it seemed like a lot of the times the kids neglected to bring the backpacks back Monday morning. So now it's bags of food. But it all came from this brilliant idea by this nurse who saw the need in Arkansas many, many, many years ago. And we took that idea and we expanded on it.
Wow. And so what does Food for Our Children do?
Food for Our Children is chartered to provide nourishment for food insecure kids in this county. And we do that in three different ways. First way is the weekend food program, where we provide food that is distributed by the schools themselves that we give to them. We ship to them every week to those kids, and it provides nutritious food that doesn't require cooking that a 6 or 7 year old kid would be able to unpack and consume on their own without adult supervision. And this is really critical because a lot of times these kids are latchkey kids and the adults may be in a single family or off working. So the necessity for having food friendly food for young people is absolutely paramount. So that's one. That's one of the things we do, and that was the original thing we took on. The second thing that we saw, and this was kind of as an aside, is as we got to know the teachers in the elementary schools and they talked about the importance of nutrition, all of them were buying things like energy bars to keep in their desk. And when one of the kids crashed and burned mid-morning from lack of maybe insulin and they needed a snack, the teachers would reach into the desk and give them a snack to keep them going. Sounds like a small thing, but a kid who's starving can't learn. Mm-hmm. And the teachers have made this clear again and again and again to us. But what we didn't like about the whole thing is the teachers were buying all this themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us recognize that the way to material wealth is not being an elementary school teacher. Mm-hmm. It has other benefits, thank God. So we decided to chip in, and we have the school district itself buy this protein bars, things like that, to distribute to the teachers to give out as they choose. And we simply reimburse the school for that cost. And then the third one is actually really, really major and has become almost as big of an expense as the weekend food bags. And that is, we see that the school lunch program and school breakfast program, the cutoffs are so low in the federal standards that we see a lot of families are not eligible for the free or reduced price school meals, and instead they're having to figure it out themselves, and sometimes the kids go without. So working with the school, we stepped in and figured out a new cutoff that Food for Our Children then funds that. The school can't fund it, of course. It's a public institution. Mm-hmm. But we then reimburse the school for those families that their children need the free and reduced school lunches. And you might say, okay, why is this? Well, the reason is simply that I think everyone that's listening right now is probably aware of, the calculation done by the federal government doesn't effectively take into account the incredibly high cost of housing. Mm-hmm. In Sandpoint. And Sandpoint is really an unusual county in the state of Idaho. We have housing costs that are equal to Sun Valley.
Mm. Yeah.
And at the same time, we have 30% of the population living below the poverty line. And this mix between what I'll call a barbell of income between the very wealthy and the very poor is really almost unique to this county in the state of Idaho. And that caused us to step in and assist the schools in providing nourishing school lunches and school breakfast to people that otherwise might not have been able to figure it out.
Wow. The need is great in our county.
It is.
Yeah. So what... was this always part of your life plan that after you retired, you were going to be doing something charitable?
Well, I think there's, you know, as a sense for some people, and I think maybe almost everyone, a sense that there is unhappiness in the world, there is suffering in the world, there is poverty, there's illness. And even if it's just in a very small way, to be able to do something to alleviate that a little bit. And maybe it's just a kind word at the checkout counter to a clerk that's having a tough day. Maybe that's what you can do, and doing that. So I think this idea is really just in keeping that we all have the possibility to do something. And this was the idea that Ford and Roz and I came up with for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what an impact to be able to give back to the community in which you live and make such a positive impact. It must be very rewarding.
Well, and it is really about the whole community. The way this works is we buy these bags of food from a national wholesaler, Second Harvest, at wholesale. And the cost of a weekend bag of food for a small child, is at wholesale $5. So anybody, someone listening now, can send Food for Our Children a check for $5. And that check goes to buy weekend food for a kid for that weekend. The whole thing. That's the whole thing. So we see we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of local donors. They can't give much, but they can participate in this idea and give a little. The thing that I think most affects them, that they feel best about, is all the money stays right here. Mm-hmm. It is for our kids in this county, and it's not to help something in another country or another state. And we know that that's needful too, but we decide we're going to focus right here with our children.
I think that's wonderful. It's time for us to take a station break, but don't change that dial. We will be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Moment with Mickey on North Idaho's Talk Radio, FM 97.1 in Sandpoint. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I am Mickey Hemingway, and this is Moment with Mickey on North Idaho Radio. I am chatting with Dennis Pence, one of the founders of Food for Our Children. Welcome back, Dennis.
Thank you, Mickey. Good to be back here.
I would like you to explain a little bit more about the structure of Food for Our Children, because it's a really unusual kind of a setup.
It is. One of the most unusual parts about Food for Our Children, which may be actually unique with any public charity in America, as far as I know, 100% of public donations go for the cause. 100% go to buy food at wholesale for children in Bonner County. Well, how do we pull that off? How do we do that? The first thing, and we decided this from the very beginning, is no paid executive director. Instead, the board itself would do that labor at no cost. No employees. The board would attract volunteers who are unpaid to help us with that as well. No hourly wages. So there's not one dollar that's going to pay someone for your donation. Instead, it's all going for food. In addition to that, and this is really so special about the board at Food for Our Children, is the board is committed out of their own pockets to pay for the miscellaneous expenses. And these are the things like website upkeep, insurance, accounting fees. And it's not an enormous amount of money because we don't have employees and we don't have a facility, but it adds up. And by us doing that, once again, we can pledge to the listener in the audience and to all of our donors that all your money goes to buy food. And that has been just an incredible point of view that has resonated with this community. It's like, okay, it sounds like a good cause, but really, how much is going for the cause? I think it's a question all of us probably need to ask in our charitable giving, and it can be shocking what a small percentage on some of the national charities actually go for the charity.
Yes, I think that is so admirable, and it's a huge commitment for those who are on the board, but they obviously see the value and what they get back in the wonderful stories. I'm sure that you probably have some that you would like to share about how this is impacting the individual children.
Well, and thank you for asking that, because that's really where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? We hear again and again, first of all, we hear again and again from the teachers, and the teachers tell us that when the food is distributed and the kids see that day of the week when the food shows up in the back of some volunteer station wagon and the 50 or 70 bags of food are unloaded, that the kids get really excited. Mm-hmm. They are looking out the window. They're enthusiastic about it. There's no lack of discussion, and it's something that is obvious every week. They never get tired of it. We see the need expressed in so many ways. I think one of the most poignant stories was a story I heard when we first started. And I was doing my own diligence. It's like, okay, is this really needed? Is this something that's important enough so that, you know, I wanted to put time into it? And I asked in my visits to schools at the very beginning, asked the head, the director of Head Start at the time, about it, and she said, absolutely, I'll tell you a story. And she told me a story about a little boy. This would have been probably 5-year-old boy, if it's Head Start. He was very, very sad one day, and she took him aside and said, what's wrong? And he said, it's not my day. And what do you mean by that? Explain what you're talking about, why you feel so sad. And he says, well, the last week of the month, there's no food at our house. And so my mom alternates dinner between either one night doing mainly for my sister, and then the next night for me. And looking into this, the director found that indeed it was a single mom. They were living really hand to mouth, and the food stamps run out at the end of the month, and it's always the last few days in the month when they weren't eating, and the mom wasn't eating anything that week at dinner, but trying to divide it up between the kids. And so I was, of course, you know, really touched by that story. And I've heard it again and again and again, that the food is so much appreciated. We have a county here that we have a high percentage, between 20 and 30% of the population are struggling. It's true in a lot of counties in rural America, and it's certainly true in Sandpoint. And while the scenery is beautiful, and if you have sold a home in California and retired with money here, life is pretty darn good. We have a whole percentage of our neighbors who are having a tough time. So these stories pile up, and we see them every year coming from the teachers.
Mm-hmm. So what... how has the Sandpoint community influenced Food for Our Children and in their donations or their support?
Well, Mickey, this has become really obvious that for the size of the Sandpoint community, it is incredibly generous. We are seeing a level of generosity, not only for Food for Our Children. We see it for the hospital with the Heart Ball every year. We see it with the animal shelter with their events every year. We see it for PACE every year. And the amount of generosity shown by this community is really, really remarkable. Our auctioneer this year at our annual auction was actually blown away by the amount of enthusiasm at the auction from coming from such a small town, because he'd never had an auction here in Sandpoint.
Oh, wow. So that's wonderful that the people of Sandpoint are rallying around these programs and so generous with their giving. And you just had a wine gala, which was your major fundraising event for the year. Was that just recently?
We did, last month. It was a great success. It's a very simple proposition. At the University of Idaho Organic Agricultural Center building, their headquarters building there, we have an evening where we sell tickets, and people come and they can taste dozens of different wines that are donated by the Idaho distributors. Oh. The Idaho distributors do all this at no charge, and they come and taste the wines, great food to go along with the wines, different food in each room to go with the different wines in each room. So it's kind of a movable feast. You can walk around with your wine glass and talk to people and try different things. And then that part of the event is followed by the auction, where we auction off different activities and a paddle race, and then that's followed by live music. And this last couple of years, it's been by our local band, Bridges Home.
Ah, yes, with David and Tamara Gunter.
That's right.
And,
Paul, his son. Yeah, that's correct.
That's awesome. And it was a very successful event for you this past month?
It was. We had a bigger turnout than we have had in the past. And, you know, we're still a relatively new charity in town. It's only about 15 years. And I think people are still finding out about Food for Our Children.
Yes. So you have been in operation for 15 years.
That's right.
I had no idea. I thought it was a much younger organization.
Well, it started pretty small the first few years.
Wow. And it's grown so much.
It has.
That is amazing. So has there been something in running this organization that you have found, that you've brought from your business, long-time businessman, that you've implemented and has worked very well?
There's two things, I think, Mickey. It's an interesting question. One is what I'll call outward facing to the marketplace, and that is you cannot repeat your main proposition too often. Say it again, say what you just said, and then repeat it a different way. And it will sound redundant to you and the people near and dear to you, but let me tell you, if you're talking to the marketplace in the case of a charity or a business, find a distinct selling proposition and just keep saying it again and again. Mm-hmm. And I think internally it is to find ways to reduce what I'll call burnout. In our case, with the directors, and in the case of a business, with the employees and the managers.
Yep.
That is the two.
Thank you. It's time for another brief break. Thank you for listening to Moment with Mickey on North Idaho's Talk Radio. We will be right back. Welcome back to North Idaho Radio. This is Mickey Hemingway of Moment with Mickey. Dennis Pence is my guest today, and we're talking about the not-for-profit organization Food for Our Children. Welcome back, Dennis.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for having me again.
Yes. So we're talking about this nonprofit, and at the last segment we just touched on your business background and bringing those skills into the organization and what has worked well for you. So has there been something that you've introduced in the organization of Food for Our Children that didn't go quite as you had expected it to? And what did you learn from that?
Well, certainly there was, at first, there was really a question of how to get the message out. And we tried leafleting, we tried going and trying to leave information at local businesses, and that really wasn't the way. And we saw very, very quickly that it needed really to be one-on-one conversations with the people we knew. and then them talking to people once they got enthusiastic with the people they knew. So it became more of viral kind of marketing as opposed to something that you would think traditional. And I think because it's so local, almost all the donations are local. And I might add, I hadn't mentioned this, we receive no money from any government, no federal or state money. But almost all the donations are local. And all the expenditures go to feed local kids. And I think it is because of that aspect that the viral kind of marketing has worked so well.
Mm-hmm. So it really is built on networking. It's person to person.
That is more than a buzzword. That is true.
Yeah. Wow. So what other things have you discovered in operating a nonprofit here or not-for-profit in Sandpoint that surprised you?
Well, I think you really have to have a real passion for whatever it is you want to take on. And I think the amount of time and the amount of effort can be surprising. Mm-hmm. I think that would be the main thing.
Yeah, yeah. So Food for Our Children is not the only organization that you're involved with. You have another nonprofit that you're working on.
Well, that's right. And as I mentioned to you before the show, Mickey, we have a small fledgling new organization called Sandpoint Tomorrow. And Sandpoint Tomorrow is in the business of awarding scholarships for continuing education for Sandpoint High School graduates. Oh. And we've been doing this now for a few years. I think 4 years is all. We awarded a total, I think this year, 14 scholarships to either graduating high school graduates or people that had been graduates that were entering their second year at college. And those were continuing scholarships. And when I say we, the primary mover, I'm kind of a helper behind the scenes, but the primary mover along with me has been a woman named Jessica Lippe. And Jessica is one of the guidance counselors at the Sandpoint High School. So she is perfectly wired in to understand the kids and probably knows firsthand almost every kid, if not every kid, that is applying for scholarships and can provide supplementary and background information as the charity makes its decisions each year. I think what has been amazing is the caliber of some of the colleges that our high school graduates are going to. We've had people going to MIT. Wow. We've had a guy going to Caltech in California. Mm-hmm. And those two colleges are probably the two best technical math and science universities in the entire world. And we have a couple of people from Sandpoint High attending those colleges and others as well, including Ivy League schools. So we have a great high school here and a great cadre of graduating kids each year that I think the community can be proud of.
Mm. I am very impressed with our education system here. I feel that my children benefited from it, and I'm glad that it continues to thrive.
Well, and one of the main reasons it does is the community, every time the bond levy comes up for the supplemental levy, we have agreed to do that and to tax ourselves for that. That has been an incredibly difficult time for West Bonner County School District when it did not pass, and the very tough decisions that had to be made. And my hope is the community here will continue to pass supplemental levies. A lot of the good that comes out of the school district is through that.
Mm-hmm. So how can our listeners get involved with Food for Our Children? How can they donate and support the organization?
So if you simply go to the website, that's foodforourchildren.org. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. All donations are tax deductible to the extent of the law. And there you'll find all the information about where to send a check, or you can also donate via credit card.
Okay, great. And then Sandpoint Tomorrow, the scholarship program, is that something that people could donate to as well?
It's not set up to do that right now, okay. But as we look at the expansion, that may be the case.
Okay. And looking to the future, what is next for Food for Our Children?
Well, one of the things we decided that I think has made us successful, Mickey, is not to have what I call feature creep. By feature creep, it's like, oh, this was good, but hey, we could also do this, and then we could do that, and we could do that. And, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, is a famous saying. So I think for us to stick to our knitting, and for our donors to know that our intention is to do one thing, and that is feed kids in this county who otherwise might go hungry, period. And we're just going to find ways to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Keep it simple, keep it focused, and do it right.
That's our hope.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. It's been a pleasure having you, and great to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you again, old times. All right.
In our last few minutes here together, I have a special segment that I'll be sharing. And this is a moment when I share a tip, an insight, wisdom, or a challenge. And these are designed to help you be the best you can be. And today's Moment with Mickey tip is you get what you give. A CEO and CFO were having a discussion about the upcoming annual budget. And the specific line item of discussion was training. The CFO, being fiscally conservative, said, "What if we spend all this money on training and our people leave?" To which the CEO said, "What if we don't spend this money on training and the people stay?" If you want to ensure that your organization has the ability to endure, has lasting power, and can grow, you have to invest in your people. Give them training. That sends the message loud and clear how much you appreciate and value them. It shows you want them to stay with you and learn and grow. It builds loyalty. And that, overall, is a win-win. Thank you for being with us today. If you're interested in meeting other business people in the Sandpoint area, check out my networking luncheon that I host the second Tuesday every month at Marigold Bistro. Visit the website grouplevelup.com to learn more. Thank you for listening to Moment with Mickey on North Idaho Radio.